Last we spoke, we were in the middle of Perek Shlishi, and we spoke about the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Yetzer HaTov. He somehow knows. Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa. Yeah. You know, we just started. The Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa. Perfect. Okay?
That's the best part of that.
Yeah. And in order to make us earn, fight for and earn the uniqueness of God, the goodness of God. So he created us in such a way that it wasn't automatic. We did speak about that last week, spoke about the idea of we're not created as robots. God's Baruch Hu wanted us to come to it on our own. And we're on bet. We're going to go, I don't know if we got that far, we're going to go back to bet. Ulam v'yod davar zeh nishlam kira'uy. In order for this to be complete, gazra'a chachmal yonashi adam murkab mishnei apachim. Okay, so the person was created from two opposites. Hainu, minishama sichlit v'zakah, pure, intelligent, intellectual soul, v'guf artzi'i v'achor, and a impure, achor, clouded.
It's like Tanya.
Body, physicality.
Unenlightened.
What?
Unenlightened.
Just like
unenlightened? Is that what he says? Okay. Each one is pulling in its own direction. Right, the body is pushing in one direction. It's pushing you towards its own actualization, its own needs. And the soul, the soul wants to reach elevated heights. So there's a war. This is very interesting. He says, the neshama, it has to be a fair fight, meaning that each one has the ability to influence over the other, to change the other. That if the neshama wins, it can purify the body. This is foreign to us. You have to understand, this is foreign to our experience. And I'll explain why. V'oto adam, this person, who finds this completion, this wholeness, v'im yaniach adam shi'inatzeach bo'achomer, okay? But if we find this person who physicality wins, hine yishpal haguf, he lowers the body, v'tishpal ha'neshamayim nishmato imo, and then that they can affect the soul too. V'yoto adam bilti hagun l'shemut, and that person will not be able to become complete. V'nicham imenu chas v'shalom. Okay, so the stakes are higher. In this, the way he describes the stakes are much higher. Why? Because the body and the soul have the power to affect each other, and depending on which one wins, it can really win to the point where you can either destroy your physicality or negate it to such a degree where you've elevated your body to a level of spirituality. Or, on the other hand, chas v'shalom, you can negate your if your body wins, it can take the soul and impurify it to such a degree that it's now like a, you know, almost a physical attribute. Well, Adam azad yichol alashpil chomro lefi sichlo nishmato. That person can acquire shleimut. Why? Because he has real power to affect change. Okay? So that's the way it was supposed to be. That the choice that you made was a powerful one, was an effective one. It wasn't something that was just like, I don't know.
It's like a one-time choice?
Seems that. Well, it wasn't one time, but I guess every choice has an impact. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll ask this.
Not a constant struggle?
I guess there was a point at which you could.
I mean, is this a
make
done
it
deal?
Too much. Yeah, I think so. We'll see. Because I'll explain. Vamdam. Gazar tuvoit barashamam, but he God great. Shiak vul hishadut hazam, yisrech vadam sik shemut. But there's a limit how much you have to acquire. Okay, shlim hishaduto, and when a person finished that, when you're done and you've won the war, right, then you get eternal bliss. Alkein chukukulo shnei zmanim. So there are two specific time frames. Echad zman ha'avoda, v'echad zman kibul hasfar. So you got to work, and then when you're done, you get to retire and bask in the glory of the Floridian sun. Okay, v'ulam, but it's a spiritual Floridian sun. V'ulam, midat hatov miruba. But God is the attribute of goodness is greater. Why? The work time, which has set time, right? So meaning God, he sort of stacked the deck. Why? Because the time that you had to work was limited, But once you earned your keep, once you earned your eternal pleasure, that's what's called eternal. So it's not really fair in a sense, because the good always outweighs the bad. Because of however much you have to work, you get the eternal, which is limitless. Okay? Just like
however bad you are, you get the eternal.
No, he didn't say that. And what he's saying was the good is more powerful. Because, yes, you have to work, but you only have to work for a certain amount of time. That's when the struggle is. But after the struggle is over, if you've won, then you can bask in your glory forever. Of course.
Sounds like a time for a joke.
Go for it. You have a joke?
There's a guy who goes up to...
Is it a short joke?
Yeah.
Okay.
He goes up to Shemayim, and they look at him and they say, you know what, 50-50. It's like, you can pick what you want. Okay, I don't work on it.
Right.
It's like, we'll give you a chance to look at both, and you just pick what you want.
Oh, come on. Can I give the punchline?
Sure.
What?
Sure.
That was the Federation tour, this is the real thing?
No.
Oh! Everybody heard that joke? Okay. Go ahead, I'm sorry. I apologize for interrupting you with my punchline.
So... He goes, he looks in Gan Eden, and he sees like all these people learning Torah and sitting, and it's like, you know, it's very peaceful and whatever. And he's like, okay, that's okay.
Sounds all right.
It's like a little bit boring. And then he goes and he looks at Gehenna, and it's like everyone's like drinking like a pina colada on the beach, and there's like beautiful waves and whatever. And he's like, you know, Gehenna just looks so bad. So he goes back to the angel and he goes, I want Gehenna. And the angel says, well, you know, this is like a decision forever. You can't go back. So he's like, yeah, I understand. It's okay. I'm okay. So he goes back and says, okay. And the angel comes, they take him, and he goes to get him, and he sees this, like, fire, and there's, like, the Malach, like, roasting men, and, like, all this other stuff. He goes, wait a second. What was with that? He goes, that was our screensaver.
That's actually what?
That was our screensaver.
You're dating yourself.
Sorry.
What's a screensaver? Ulam.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah, but if you mess up, I guess that's also kind of eternal. Yeah, go ahead.
What's the difference between Nefesh and Neshama?
Here?
It's a whole topic.
No. Or in broader literature?
Both. And the Nefesh is supposed to be part of the blood, right?
The way I understand, the way I understand it, in my simple understanding, what he's describing here is Neshama. He's calling it Nefesh.
Oh, he's calling it nefesh.
He calls it nefesh. I mean, he calls it. One second.
You say neshama now.
One second. What does he Nishmato. Use?
Nishmato.
Nishmato.
Imo.
One second. He uses. Yeah, right. Nishmato. Sichlo v'nishmato. Mm-hmm. Right. So you're right. I'm sorry. He calls it. That's the intellectual, spiritual, godly aspect. Nefesh is life force. That's what we talk about. Usually, when we talk about nefesh, nefesh chaya. Man was a nefesh chaya. You'll see in creation, you'll see in the description, and then it's okay? The nefesh and the shamar are two different things. You understand?
Okay. What are they?
One is life. Your cat has a nefesh.
Okay.
Your cat does not have a neshama. That's the way we understand it. Right? But the spirit of God.
Soul.
What?
They're both translated, so...
Correct. That's not an accurate translation. One is life force, one is divine spark. V'ulam. Kefi shi'itchalei zemano, kachwei shi'itchalei matzava usha migra. Meaning, depending on the time period, the situation which you're in, so through the tana'im, the conditions have to be different also. One, the time period for work is going to have certain conditions, and the basking in the glory of God is going to have other conditions.
So, I mean, is this...
Let's read through it. It's really worth it to read through it, and then we can talk about it. Okay, kol zman shishtalut hinei tzerech shiyeh b'tchuna achat. Right? If you're in the time where God wants you to work, you have to be in one condition. Shuchli l'matzei bo kol ha'inyanim ha'mitztarachim lo lefi inyan ishtalut hazeh. God has to put you in a position where you struggle. You have to be in a position where the needs of the situation are appropriate for that thing. I mean, the analogy is, if you want to be playing the game, you have to be on the field. Okay, it doesn't help for you to be in the stand. If the game is on and you're in the stands, how can you play? Fair enough.
Can't watch TV.
You could watch, but you won't be playing. Perush, kihide, therefore, muchrach shetimatzei lo hamilchamash, it's kind of benesecha v'achomer. Right? You know, what's the big deal about saying, oh, there's a game on, we're playing. No, we're not playing, they're playing. You're watching them play. Right? You're not, it's not much of a game for you if somebody else is playing. V'lo yelo davar she'akev et achomer lishon t'lasot et shalo. Kefi hashiru ha-ra'oi lo. V'lo yelo davar she'akev et asechem lishon t'lasot et shalo. Kefi ra'oi lo. Meaning, you have to have the physical ability to do what it is you want to do in this place in order to struggle. And you have to have the intellectual capability to decide to overcome that physical inclination. Okay? You have to be able to come to the shiur tonight. And you also have to be able to decide not to come to the shiur tonight. If for whatever reason you couldn't come, you were unable physically to come, or you were somewhere else, or for whatever reason you couldn't decide not to come, then it's no big deal for you to come to the shiur, either way. The only reason coming to the shiur is meaningful is because A, you could come, and you had the right, and you had the ability to, and you had decided to. That's what he says. Because Rabbi put us in that situation. V'chein lo yedavar.
Why, if it was your only choice, but you enjoyed it?
What? No, then it wouldn't. Then it'd be ganeded, but it wouldn't be if you didn't choose.
You have bechira, then yeah. It count. Gates of tshuva goes in.
Right. Yeah, well, that's last week's discussion. But he's saying the situation is such. Right, right. He says also the stakes have to be balanced. Remember, if it's struggle, it has to be a fair fight. Because if the enticement of the physicality is so great that you cannot withstand it, then it's not a reasonable expectation for you to overcome.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be a fair fight. It
could
be a stacked fight.
Ki af al pi shemitzat echad haya nirezei yoter tov. Okay, even though in one way he looks better, hinei, the pi hakavana amitit yinyan harnitzah behem, shu kinyan hashleimut vishtadluto, einenu tov. It's not fair to make the thing that's wrong, quote-unquote bad for you, so good that who in the right mind would choose, yeah. Choose the other way?
What's that?
What are you thinking? Looks pretty good. You're asking, saying good questions. Bizman kibul aschar, hinei ro'i she'ev matzav hafchim azeh. But in the time, the opportunity for when you're getting the just reward, when you get the basking in the glory of God, it's the opposite. Kol mashiach chomer sholeg be'oto zman. Right? If physicality rules in that time, hinei lo yele machshich u'ma'akev al neshama. Right? That's not the purpose of life at that stage. That stage is blasting in the spiritual glory of God. So then you wouldn't want your physical, you wouldn't want the hindrance of a physical body then. If the whole idea is to cling to God who's a spiritual being, so my body is just in the way. It's a problem. Who needs a body then? So therefore God has to put you in a situation where you could be as close to God as humanly possible. I.e.
Next world.
He's got to kill you. Correct. He's doing you the favor of shedding this body so that you can then, in your spirituality, bask in his glory as close as you can. Then the neshama will rule. And the physicality will be pulled afterward. Maybe you won't be dead. Maybe you'll have elevated yourself to a spiritual position. You'll just be a spiritual being with a little physicality. I mean, the way we look at the world now, our existence, that's all we know. But who says that that's the only way it's supposed to be?
Is the ideal state of the order in which God sees things that we would get Olam Haba or that we would get Yemot HaMashiach?
Oh, what's the difference?
Obviously, if you're in Olam Haba, there's no element of physicality.
What's Yemot HaMashiach? Don't give me Rambam, because not everybody has to agree with the Rambam.
A lot of people would agree that there is some degree of physicality associated with it, because we're not all going to die, according to the...
Die?
You still have the physical, you still have to do bikurim, you still have to do all the things that are related to the land, you still have to do mitzvot ha'tzuyot ba'aretz. All those things are physically related.
Let us see if Rav Ramchal agrees with that. But let us see. Va'amnam. Therefore, okay, nivu shnei ha'olamot. That's why you have the two worlds, olam hazeh v'olam haba. This world and olam haba. Let's see what describes olam haba. Olam hazeh ha'makom v'chukim ha'tivim shalom. It's got its rules. Kol mashiva oy la'adam kol zman ha'hishtadlut. Right? That which is necessary for the time of hishtadlut, of work, of effort. Ha'olam haba ha'makom v'chukim shalom hei mashiva oy bizman kibul haschar. Okay, so he's setting it up I think, pretty powerfully. He says, listen, God wants you to come as close to Him as possible. Okay? The goal of God is to get you to Olam, what He calls Olam Haba. To bask in God's glory time. But the only way that He can give it to you, He can't just give it to you. Because if He gave it to you, it wouldn't be worth as much. He has to let you earn it. So in order for Him to let you earn it, He has to set up a situation, He has to create a playing field in which you play the game, and in that way, you struggle, and through that struggle, you earn that closeness to God. You perfect yourself. So He has to create a situation in which you can perfect yourself. Okay? And once that game is over, and you have perfected yourself, then you don't need that body anymore, and you are now grown in and of yourself closer to God through your own independence. And therefore, you can now come back and enjoy the fruits of your labor that you worked so hard for during the game.
You sure you want to?
You're not asking
me.
Same
question I had with any other name.
It doesn't feel obviously wrong. Let's preface it by saying, yes.
I don't understand. Right? But it doesn't feel like the theoretical setup, very nice. In practice, it doesn't seem that we are achieving these goals. And different people die at different times, and it doesn't look like that they've all, and I'm obviously wrong, that they've reached their perfection mark, and now it's on to Olam Haba.
You are not wrong.
Anyway, Olam Haba seems to be a period of time where there is no Bechira.
Correct.
Okay, so why is that better? Why is that Olam Haba should be physical because that's what we have Bechira Chofshi and we have everything else.
Hold on.
But
Olam Haba is only better under one circumstance. When is what?
When we're dead.
No. Olam Haba could be much worse when you're dead. Olam Haba is only better if
you've done your part.
You've done your part in Olam Hazeh.
Oh great. So now it gets worse.
Good.
It's merciful God.
I know whether it's merciful. What do you mean?
It's created, you know, almost a trap.
Why is it a trap?
It's very difficult.
Why is it a trap?
Because it's as you say, you know. Let's
what's in a trap? It's not a trap. It's an opportunity.
The world is much more enticing from.
From our
point of view.
Again, let me repeat to you my analogy. The analogy is as such. Okay, I think I've said this before. It's like, can you imagine you walk into this huge stadium, and I go to Australia, and they play these crazy games I never heard of before, right? Okay, it's like. There's like this game, you know, where like these people hit this ball in between back to one, and they keep running between these two bases. It's almost like
baseball. But
what's that game? What's that game we used to play? We used to throw the ball up and back, and you have to tag the guy out. What do we call that game?
Pickle.
You know what I'm talking about?
I call it pickle.
What's a pickle? Right. What's that? What do we call it? And you don't know. You know what I'm talking about?
And they throw things around like the Americans would never do, like a ring.
That's how they play cricket with that thing?
No, they play ultimate.
They kill animals with that. Okay, so you go into this big concourse, right? And it's like this is like you know you walk in the stadium, the big concourse, okay? And in the concourse, this is the beautiful big concourse. Of course, what do they have when you walk into the concourse? Like any other stadium. Awesome food. Okay, so there's concessions. There's toilets too. There's concessions. There's like amusement parks now. If you've gone to modern stadiums, there's a tremendous amount of things to see. Now, of course, you've never really seen this game. They're selling some Shmedrick is selling programs. You know what I'm saying? But nobody stops to buy a program because it's best not to buy a program. Unfortunately, nobody knows what the game is. And every now and then you see like the entrances to the field. And a few people are going to the few people are going down to see the game. A couple of people, but most people, they'd much rather, they don't know that there's a game, they never heard of the game, than the cricket. Cricket is a bug, you understand? Why would I go want to watch a bug, okay? So instead, what do they spend the whole time doing? Eating and enjoying, having a great time, they're drinking with their friends, a lot of beer, terrific, okay? A couple of people were smart enough to buy a program. And they realize, when they start reading the program, that this is like the most exciting game they've ever seen in their lives. Theoretically, okay? There's only one trick. The rule is, wherever you are where the game starts, that's where you are. You can't move down. Meaning, if you can pull yourself away enough from the concessions to go sit by the field. When the game starts, you could be at, you know, do they have 50-yard line seats? What do they call it in cricket? What? Home seats, good seats? What do they call good seats in cricket?
The members' enclosure. The benches.
What's that?
The members' enclosure. Or
the members' enclosure. You could be sitting in the members' enclosure for the world's greatest cricket match for all of eternity. But most people just didn't bother to buy a program, which was right there in front of them, if they had only opted to do so. So instead, when the game starts and they're enjoying their beer, okay, they now know, they start watching this game on TV, because they can only watch at the screens because they're stuck at the concession stands. And there's an unbelievable game. So if you were in the unbelievable game and somebody hit a home run, what would you do? You'd rush, oh, I want to go see what's going on. But they can't. They're stuck there. So how would you feel knowing that you are at the world's... How would you feel knowing that you are at the world's greatest game in the history of ever?
That's the whole
but thing. That you have to watch it on TV.
Oh, so we invented a word called emuna, or faith, or whatever you want to call it.
Isn't that an awesome analogy? Isn't that a good analogy? Yeah, that's a cool analogy.
Where is your idea that you can go up and down?
What do you mean?
You don't complete your task, you're sent back.
Oh, okay. So a merciful God would say, for all the losers stuck on the concourse, right, we'll give you another shot. We'll take you out and bring you back and see, maybe this time he'll buy a program.
That's not free choice.
Of course. There's a guy saying, this is a good game.
That's not the analogy, because the purpose you're sent back is the same... twisted lack of knowledge you had previously.
You're kicked out, right, and come back.
Right, but you don't come back with the knowledge of what you had from a long time
ago. All right, let's read. Let's read on, because you have to read his analogy, because you're saying the game is stacked, all right? You're saying...
I'm saying in history, we keep going back to this, like, thousands of years, it just feels like there should have been an easier way to get to where we need to get to.
But that's exactly the point. First of all, You are combining we, the Jewish people, and we, human beings. Mm-hmm. Okay, who's to say that our larger goal of perfecting the world who's to say that at the same time, even though we have not yet perfected the world, nonetheless, each person on his own individual level, does not mean that he cannot perfect himself and come as close to God as he can. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So why they're not mutually exclusive. Yes, we have not
yet
perfected
the world.
Yeah. I
did you hear Netanyahu?
My son is watching him now.
Did you hear
12-year-old loves the news.
Did you hear anyone stand up and really go, you know, that's really true?
What's the point? What is your point? What does it have to do with
this? How long is it going to take to fix this world?
What in the world is that to what we're discussing?
So God will send us back because he'll help us once we're dead. He'll help us come back and try again.
What try again? I don't understand. Why are you saying that the fact that the world isn't perfected doesn't mean that we all aren't supposed to have to struggle to come closer to the Ribono Shel Olam and to find our own mission? In fact, once the world is perfected, then we won't be able to anymore.
I'm saying that if
the world
up is set up for us to reach perfection.
No, for each individual right now. That's what we're talking about.
For each individual.
Yeah.
Then perhaps we could all reach it a little bit easier if the challenge is...
That's the point, though. Why are you using that word easier? If it was supposed to be easier, then he would have made it easy. You don't want it to be easier. Why do you want it to be easier?
And you don't feel like you got your reward. You don't feel like you deserve it.
Correct.
Really?
Correct.
That's what they say.
Correct.
I'm not sure.
You mean you drift right? You give it to me and I'll decide. That's what you're saying. I can't help you. You're going to have to kind of trust the Creator that he knew what, you know...
Okay,
how much?
But
how hard can
you to try and understand it? I accept that it's my lack of knowledge and my.
Well, why don't you accept that he knew how hard to make it? I mean, even though it got harder than that. What?
I accept my lack of knowledge. I'd like to understand why.
I mean, you say I accept that I don't understand how that it has
been
this hard.
I have the faith. And I feel it.
Well, you want to understand why does it have to be this hard?
I'm supposed to do it, but I'd really like to understand it, so that actually that.
No, I'm a little confused.
It's easier to deal with the challenges.
But each person's challenge is to try to perfect himself. I'm not talking about. You don't have to perfect the world. You don't have to fix everything. You know that was that famous thing? Like, at first I thought I was going to. What? You know what I'm talking about? Who the Rebbe was? You know exactly what I'm talking about. He said, first I thought I was going to change. I think maybe a prime volition. Thought I was going to change like a hall of jewelry. But that's so true.
Okay.
It's so true.
Well, it's not right? Hard to change your health. This what? Out of Rosh Hashanah.
Of course, but that's what...
Say, wait a second.
So stop trying to change
it. I wasn't going to do it, but so I did it this year.
Exactly so my point. So we just focus on that instead of changing the world. That's just hard. It's hard enough.
Did you guys talk about...
round and round.
I'm sorry, did you talk about this evil part of us inside of us?
No, we didn't get there yet. We'll get there in a minute. Okay, and we call you Sarah Abedat.
But that was the whole thing that we just...
No, he was complaining about the fact that it's too hard and the world is all messed up. And I gave my analogy of the cricket game. You missed my cricket game analogy.
Why?
Well,
cricket
is a sport.
What?
Cricket is a sport.
See? That's exactly the point. It's cricket. It's a bug. Umimashi yitzarech obadat.
Hine
hamina enoshi.
It's a cartoon character.
Here he goes. But you have to understand something. He says, this is what I think Johnny's really complaining about. And he's saying, is what Ramchal just described our experience? Are we experiencing that the way he described it? And the answer is?
Sure, it doesn't feel like it.
Doesn't feel like, why? What are you saying?
It seems hard.
Harder, very good. And you're right.
It seems unbalanced. I agree with you. Yeah. And I think maybe if we lived in the times of the Migdash, or we lived in the time of the prophets,
nope.
Or we lived in the time of Mitzrayim,
keep going. Nope. Umimashi, you'll see in a second. Nope. Umimashi yitzarech od ladat. He said, look, hine amin ha'enoshi, the human condition, ein inyano amin hei, ein inyano harishan kamosha anaroim mabchinam oto ata. He said, it's not what we see now. His situation is not the way it is, the way it was supposed to be. It's not the way it is now. Ki ulam shinui gadol hayabo. Because a great change happened. Who inyan chet o shal adam harishon?
I don't buy that at all.
I knew you were going to
say that. I didn't say it. What I didn't say.
It's very problematic.
So let's let him finish a sentence.
Because all of what he said up until now, but the nefesh of Bahamas and blah 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 blah, is all like
and nefesh of Bahamas.
That's what it is. It's like right after Netanya.
Did we have the
chiddush? Shemishtanah bo haadam v'haolam mimashayu betchila.
But like all of that is after the Eitz Hadaat.
Yes.
So then,
the world was created for before.
Nechon, but what he described as being like equal and whatever, like yes. There was no.
It was. There was a brief period in which it was 50-50.
If the world was created for before and Adam screwed up and now the world isn't working the way it should, then let's take the presumption that God creates worlds and destroys worlds all the time. This one isn't working so great. Why don't they just stop this one and restart again and put us in the same
place? Can we finish the sentence?
It's like classic shiftless argument. It's just like...
What? But wait, Ulam...
We can never get out of it because we're just evil the whole time and we're like, you know...
It's very interesting.
We're like running around after our tails and...
He didn't... A second.
He said things changed dramatically.
He did say things to him. You can't interrupt. Do whatever you want. Ulam pirtei hashinui told him rabin. The change is a lot of details. We'll talk about them. When you speak about human condition, okay, and its different situations are kfulim, they're double. Ki dubar bo minsua v'bebichinat kodem hachet. You have to talk about Adam Rishon before the sin. Speak about Adam before the sin and after the sin. Hine, one second. You might not like it, but you have to deal with the fact that God created the world in a certain way, and something fundamentally changed between before and after. Now, one wonders, what did God create man for? How long was it supposed to last?
No. That's that. I have no problem with the fact that there's after the sin, and like... Then if the game is different than it was before.
You know, that doesn't bother you.
No,
What
bothers me is that...
Right?
Yeah, I know.
What bothers me is that I don't... I mean, from...
He didn't say you can't fix it totally.
No,
he didn't say that.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying before the sin, I have a hard time believing that it was like 50-50. Because they always talk about the fact that Adam Arishon had no Yetzirah.
Hine Adam Arishon ve Yetzirah to haya mamash ba'oto hamatzav shezacharnu ad ata. Let's just answer your question, but he says, so let him say it first, okay, before you ask your question. He was in exactly that situation. Dahainu shehu haya murkav mishnei hachalakim ha'avchiyim she'amarnu. He was made of those two unique things. Shehem ha'neshama v'haguf. U'bemtziut hayu shnei inyanim atov v'hara. V'u omed bishikul b'ineihem. It was 50-50. Yidabek mashir tzemim, to choose. V'hineh ya ra'ui shilo shivchar batov. He should have chosen good. V'yagbir nishmato al gufo. His neshama would overpower his body. V'sichlo al chumra. His intellect over his form, over his chumer. What's the word?
Physicality.
V'al ha'mishtalem miyad. He would have reached completion. V'nach b'shleimuto la'netzach. And eternally basked in his whole, in his completion. Meaning, the world, like that, in a sense, it's really hard to wrap your mind around, because really, what Adam was supposed to, it was like, God gave the world.
Yitzhara.
No. He had a Yitzhara. It's not what he's saying. He said he had a Yitzhara. He'd be saying it was perfectly balanced.
Okay. There's many different opinions about it.
Okay, obviously. But you,
so
I
mean, the first
we're reading Ramchal's opinion.
So the
you know what I'm saying?
The first part of the book was written for Adam Rishon.
What? No.
So the first part of the book was written for Adam Rishon.
He's telling us where it started to, in order to explain where
so
we are.
He's now going to tell us our situation and how we deal with that.
What?
He's going to tell us our situation.
Yeah, of course. Come on. Okay, we have to get through this first. Okay?
No,
Zerush Shteida.
That's what we said. And Shamalach
Maguf Pala. Zerush Shteida. Sh'av alpi she'en anu margishim neshama baguf pu'ula acheret. Zulat hachiyut baskala. You have to understand, even though we don't sense in the neshama and the guf at all, other than the fact that we're alive and intelligent. In reality, the way God really created us, the neshama should have the power to purify the guf. This doesn't exist in us anymore. It was created that way. It was originally intended that the guf should be purified to such a degree that it could also benefit from the shleimut.
But isn't that our goal? Like
shahaita nishmato mezakechet et gufo. The goal was for his neshama to purify his body. Zikuk achar zikuk. Sh'ad shaya mezakech hashiyu ha-mitzarech v'nikva b'ta'anug ha-nitzchi. So what's an example? Can we think of an example in Jewish history of a person whose soul somehow was able to spiritually purify his body to such a degree that he no longer needed any physical sustenance and was able to completely bask in the glory of God? That's correct. So it's not totally foreign to us. It is a concept that does exist in Jewish thought, that there is a possibility of this happening. Sadly, we only know of one human being that ever did this.
But he also had some help.
With help, absolutely.
But, okay, this whole idea that we've set up until now, mm-hmm. basically like, man is evil. Like, the body is evil, the body is bad, the body wants to do bad things,
mm-hmm.
and the body is more powerful than the neshama because of the sin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's more...
I would love to have these discussions, but we're learning the book, so let's learn it, and then we'll get to the questions about it. You can't say he's going to, well, we can, but it's counterproductive to say he's going to say X, Y, Z, and then question what he says before we actually read it inside. Okay. Kevan she, and I'm not negating your question, we just have to read it. Kevan she chata Adam Rishon nishtanu, Elohim shinui gadol. But once Adam sinned, things changed. Kine b'tchila, hayu babriya chesonot shahayu, b'shi'ur mashaya misterech l'shiya Adam Rishon b'matzav ha-shikul shezacharon. Right? God created the world in such a way that it would be 50-50. Right? Good is not better than bad, etc. V'yelo makom laharviyach et ha-shneimut b'yekavav. And he could then benefit and achieve this completion. Amnam ayidei cheto, but through his sin, nosvu v'nitrabu chesronot be'atzmo shel Adam u'babriya kula. He didn't just change himself; he affected all of creation. V'od nitkasha hatikun mema shehaya kodem. Meaning, since the goof overcame the soul, the goof affected the soul. He impurified the soul in some way. Pirush. Meaning, he was able to remove the thing that was lacking and acquire the shleimut. That's how God made the world up. Why in the world would Adam have any need for anything bad? It was inherent, it was stamped in his nature. In that which he would not do the bad, he would turn to the good. He would immediately complete himself. Omnam, yet, in his sin. Remember we said, just like the good could overcome the bad could overcome the good. And since that happened, v'nit rabu hachesronot, so he increased his lackings. V'ayahu agorim ra'an latzmo. He caused bad for himself. He named lo haya od kol kach lo lashub latzeit min hachisaron v'liknot hashleimut. He obviously had negated himself. He caused damage to the point where he couldn't now come back to Shleimut. Kemo shaya ve'et lo hayahu. Meaning, now, now, in order to get to his shleimut, it's not 50-50. Now he's 75-25. He's 20. He's close. He's on the 25-yard line. Now I'm going to go 75 yards instead of 25. That's a football analogy. American football, you're familiar?
Okay. Yards in cricket?
Right. Yards? No. Meters, I'm sorry.
No, when he runs in cricket.
It's 60 meters, 60.95 meters. Okay. In order to achieve completion, Donnie, what do we have to do? First, we have to get back to the 50-yard line. Then you can think about getting from the 50-yard line to the goal line.
I don't know what he's saying. You're never going to get to the 50-yard line.
I didn't say that.
That's what he's saying.
He did not say that.
I'm reading a little bit further on. Sorry for skipping ahead. Read through it before. He's saying that no matter what you do, it's always going to be harder to be able to get closer.
We're already reset.
Meaning, essentially, there's something always that's going to draw you further back. The presumption of 50-50 means that you're exactly in the same spot.
50-50 is Adam Rishon Kodom Hachet, but that's not our situation.
And it would never be.
What?
It will never be.
No, it will be.
Mashiach.
Right.
So then my point is you're never going to get to the back of the 50-yard line.
No, we will.
After you die.
No.
Sure.
I'm sorry, this is our work a little bit
useless, no?
It's like Sisyphus. Not useless, hard.
No,
you think it makes it useless? Why impossible?
Because it's impossible.
Because you're never going to get back to the 50-yard line.
I think it's more like when you get a 10-yard and you get back to the first down.
Seriously?
You get another first down. You gain 10 yards. You're at a higher spiritual level than you were before. You still have your own challenges. You still have you still have another 10 yards to reach.
Oh,
you're going to go and play a game where you know you're never ever going to score. You're never going to win.
Every time you get 10 yards, you start.
If you're lucky, you're going to get down to the 50-yard line.
If I do better than the other guy, I feel like I won.
Yeah, this is going to be a little depressing. He says, in our current situation, he says, shelo yuchlu lo hadam lo ha'olam yatay yishlam. We'll never get to shlamu. Odabit Tsurashni Kakala in its current form.
But does anyone
Hainu Hatsurashesh Hemaksha Shabanit Rebba Hara in this evolved form. It's almost like what was that one? The Lord of the Rings?
Lord of Flies.
No, Lord of the Rings. I'm thinking Lord of the Rings, you know, like the world that used to be all forest and everything, and the guy turned it into like black. Like he cut down all the trees and made it all terrible. Yeah. So he says you can't if the you have to pass through ma'avar ha'hefsed, a period of loss. Dahainu ha'mita la'adam, death, va'hefsed l'chol sha'ovim sh'nit kalkulu imo, and the loss of all other existing things. V'lo tuchal neshama zakei chaguf, the soul cannot purify the body, ela achar sh'teitzei mimeno t'chila, v'yamut haguf v'yipased, Va'az yachzor v'yibane binyan chadash. Then a new construction will be built. V'tikanes bo haneshama. The soul will enter it. V'tizekakehu.
So what's the point? I mean, might as well just stay in Shemayim.
V'chein ha'olam kulor. Hold on. You'll get there.
Or commit suicide.
Then you won't get there. V'chein, because... V'chein...
You're Nishama will never be purified.
Correct. Ha'olam kulo.
Somebody else pop you.
In the whole world, see, I don't know if it's gonna. Yitcharev mitzu rasho shel ata. Sadly and tragically, the whole world will be destroyed from its current form. V'yashuv v'yibaneh b'tzura acheret v'uya l'shlemut. And it will be completely rebuilt. V'alken, therefore, nigzar ha'adam shiyamut v'yachzor v'yichyeh.
What are we waiting for?
Mankind, right, was decreed that he should die and relive, be alive. V'huinyan t'chiyat ha'mitim. V'al ha'olam, and the world also, shiyecharev v'yachzor v'yichudash. It should be destroyed and be renewed. V'huinyan ma'ashimu chachamim zichron racha. Shita alfei shnei abi alma, 6,000 years of the world, v'chad charuf, 1,000 destroyed, v'sof elef shana, kadosh baruch hu chozer u'machadesh et olamo. V'hine, and behold, v'fi shoresh zeh, hagmul ha'amiti, the true reward, that is v'an kibul ha'schar shetchanu, mekomo, hu achar ha'tchia. When is the real reward come? After tchias ha'meisim, v'olam shi'itchadesh, and the rebuilt world, Hadam yehenebo begufo b'nishmato, b'hiyot gufo mezuchach adin nishmato, when his body is purified to his soul. So you're saying, what about the Rambam? What about the Rambam says, ein bein yimot ha'elu yimot ha'vashiach v'ashibud machud b'vad. What about the Rambam? What do you say to that?
I don't know, that's what I was thinking.
Well, what about that Rambam? What did the Ramchal say about that Rambam? He would say, I totally disagree. That's not true at all. There's a lot of difference between Yimon HaMashiach and now. Right? He says, but in between one and the other, all the people have to die and the world has to be destroyed.
The presumption, his presumption is that when Mashiach comes, there's not going to be any.
It feels so Christian.
Yes. Why? What?
It's like the bad. The
no, no, not, bad. No. He didn't say not Yetzirah. He did not say Yetzirah. He'll say be 50-50 and we'll
deny
choose
yourself,
good.
And then you'll never get it. You only need Hashem to save you. Otherwise, there's nothing for you to do. The progress you can ever make.
Why? Why have you said that?
If you wait till you die, and like there's resurrection, and the Mashiach comes, and then you're okay.
This is my point. If the only way we can get back to this is through resurrection.
Hold on a second. You're talking about the ultimate perfection.
Well, what else are we doing? We're not really getting to the 50-yard line. Apparently the soul is coming back and coming back. It's still not there.
Okay.
Well, I've got a bigger question.
Do you want me to answer you? I believe my answer would be, Kadosh Baruch Hu obviously feels it's to our benefit to struggle in the situation in which we are now. Yeah, it's our job.
Why? We're going to die and then he's going to bring us back to the first.
No, he's not going to
be failure. If you're going to always fail, and what's the point of struggling?
I see. Really?
That's what he said. It's like you're not going to be successful.
He says no. He says, one second. He did not say it. He said you will not meet the ultimate 50-50, success.
Right. But I thought the whole thing that this is the way that I was always taught, it's like, In Yiddishkeit, like the goof is like a positive thing. You have to make use of it. Like you have to.
Really?
Yeah. You have to That's why you get married, so that you can have children, and that's a physical thing, which is a good thing for the world. It's not like a negative.
There are two hugely divergent schools of thought. This emanates from the very famous sugya of Nazir, right? What is the korban chatas of the Nazir? Is the korban chatas of the Nazir?
That's
exactly correct.
You
were always taught. I mean, you don't tell me you were always taught only one side of the equation.
No, but the Nazir chooses. That's the difference. The reason that the Nazir gives the chatas because he chooses to deny himself, as opposed to that's not the ultimate thing.
What are you talking about? Choose to deny. Why would you choose to deny yourself the pleasure that God gave you? The answer is, do I see the pleasures of this world as ultimately drawing me down?
But I don't have to be weak.
What are you talking about? Only me drawing down.
We kiddush on wine. Why do we make kiddush? We make kiddush because we're taking the wine and we're saying, here, he's giving us, this has tremendous potential, and I'm making it into kodesh.
Correct.
I have a voice and I have an ability to speak, and yes, I can say lashon hara and I can curse somebody out and I can make someone feel bad, but on the other hand, I can also elevate someone and make their day and smile at them. And
you think that your physicality, the idea...
Yeah, that's why we go to the base kfaros, we tuck in our tzitzis because the dead people are chalashim to do mitzvahs. And they can't, and so we have to.
Wait, one second. Is the ultimate goal to purify your spirituality, your physicality, or to overcome it? What is the holiest day of the year?
That's not the ideal.
Right? Rabbi Purim, Kippurim. I'm telling you.
That's not what Rabbi Halevi says. Rabbi Halevi says we do Yom Kippur one day a year so that we can get to a very high spiritual level. But that's not the ultimate. The ultimate is the rest of the year to be able to live and also.
I see. That's why we call it the holiest day of the year. Just done?
No, because you need to recharge the batteries every so often.
Because obviously, we'll get the holiest idea. That's the ideal. No.
No.
It's not the Rebbe Elazar.
That's what we've got now.
It's not the Holy State of the
Year. That's what we've got now.
No, it's not.
Yom Kippur is not the holiest day of the year?
It's the holiest day of the year.
When
the most spiritual, the most close
to
God.
Where Mashiach comes.
What?
Yes, but it's not the goal. We're not supposed to be fasting all the year long.
Because that's exactly the point. Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu put us in this world and made us contend with a physicality that's dragging us down.
But why?
In order to have this struggle. That's exactly the point.
No way.
You can do positive things with it.
That's why priests don't get married, and like they lash their bodies and they put themselves in ice baths. Like, we don't believe in any of that stuff.
Again,
like roll in the snow and like cut off your knuckles. Like, we're not into that.
Really, we're not into the fact that our physicality is what causes us to sin.
Yes, our physicality causes us to sin, but it's not in essence. It's not a bad thing. It's a chomer piece that you need the tzura or whatever to, in order to elevate it spiritually.
If you wouldn't have the Ezra, you wouldn't have the ability to do it. That's the whole point of like the prime example of that is if you wouldn't have the Ezra, then you would never have children. Same thing. You use it, you use the Ezra to get
food,
in order to
okay,
be
one second.
For the
mitzvah. Wait a second.
Every single mitzvah is taking physical pieces of this world and elevating them.
That's exactly the point. I don't think I'm going to disagree with you, but it's just a question of nuance. I think it's a question of subtlety. Do you see? I mean, I have my body wants it to actualize itself, right? It wants to fulfill itself. Correct.
You're an animal. That's
correct.
Now Shabbos.
Right. So, Kaddish Baruch, and so can we agree that that is against what's good for my soul? It just its
the
own self actualization.
Yes.
Okay, so that's all he's saying. So now we're only arguing about.
That's not what he's saying.
Stop a second. Don't interrupt me. At least until I finish my sentence. So all we're arguing about is it best to on the to try to negate that physicality or to elevate it? That's a machlokas. It's a machlokas. Mikadom. It was from ever. It's a machlokas in the Gemara. It's a machlokas in Rishonim. It's a machlokas today. Nowadays they wouldn't even try to tell you that. Because nobody would accept it.
Why?
The fact that you have to try to negate your physicality. Nobody would accept it. Nobody would do it. But there were plenty of people throughout the history of mankind, right, who did it. Very religious and very holy Jews. Wait, what did they say? Who was the Tana in the time of Bait Sheni who all he ate was a fig a day? Right. They didn't say Rabbeinu Tzadok who doesn't really understand Torah because he doesn't really understand that he has to elevate himself by eating steaks. It didn't say that. Meaning it's a machlokes. There's two different ways of saying it. Today, we're on such a low level that we have no appreciation for someone who tries to reach spirituality by negating his own physicality.
It's not that you shouldn't negate your desires for physical things, but you can...
I'm saying that there's a school of thought that says you should. And it's not Christian. It's just not...
It's not mainstream.
It's not mainstream. We don't teach it anymore. Because if somebody told you that in Maimonides, you would have said, what are you, nuts, Rabbi?
No, it's
out of here.
Mainstream because most people can't do it.
Right.
A guy from the Gemara can get away with it because he can do it.
But see, I'm convinced that the guy who eats the figs, for him, like...
The guy from the Gemara. They're rough. Okay.
Like, for him, like, he has gotten to a point where he maybe doesn't need anything with the figs. But he's not holding on a level where he's not...
Is that a higher level?
Where he's not participating in this world. He's like floating on the clouds.
Bye. Well, I don't understand what you're saying. So therefore what? That's exactly the point. That's his goal. To float the, isn't our goal to float on the clouds? To live in a world where it doesn't matter what I eat and in reality I don't really need to eat.
When you float on the clouds, you can like...
You have other things.
Sing and dance and whatever.
Why are you saying that way? You see the world in the way that it really is and not bogged down by all this garbage that we are so...
You sit in your own little room and you never speak to anybody, and you sit all day thinking about the Ribbono Shalom, that is not the ideal.
Excuse me. Okay, that's the machlokas about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, right? Well, that was the whole machlokas, right? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, when the cave, what did they do in the cave? What did they eat?
And that wasn't the ideal.
Okay, because the world didn't say you're wrong. It said the world isn't ready for you.
What's the whole Zohar? We have to go. What's the whole Zohar? The Zohar is like taking the physical pieces of the world and showing you where the Chokhmah of the Ribbono Shel Olam is. And all those things. That's
I think you just described yourself. Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year. And the reason we have one day a year is because that's all we can take.
No.
But in reality, if we could take it,
no way.
We could reach high, high levels. Okay, we'll learn next week. I have a great piece of Rav Kook for you, and hopefully it'll be a little more inspirational.
That's a lot.
Could give us here.
Sure.